Friends have sometimes commented that Tila is like two dogs, the obedient dog who seems calm and still, the guide dog, the Tila when she is working, and the wiggly, active, alert, high-strung dog who simply cannot get enough loving or petting. The Tila when she is off harness with them. She has been those two different dogs over all these years, never letting either one of them slide or change much in their constancy. But for me, she has always been one dog. I know what it takes for her to be obedient, and I value that and take pride in her dutiful working mentality and behaviors. At the same time, her playfulness, her alert, party girl golden retriever self, is a joy to me, and we go back and forth between the two. Had she not that lighter side, her more carefree dog energy, she would not be as good for me, I think, brightening my mood, lifting me up, making each day a new adventure, offering me a new awareness of my surroundings. It's as if she says, "You owe it to me. It can't be all work. We have to have some fun." And then we do. Sometimes, when I've been playing frisbee with Tila out in a field, when I've decided we are ready to be done, because she is tired or we have some place to go and more work to do, I will plan to take the frisbee from her the next time she retrieves it. She can often sense that I'm about to do this, and she holds the frisbee firmly, grasping it resolutely in her mouth, not wanting to let it go. I give a tug, but I cannot get the frisbee out. "Give," I say to her. She rolls her eyes up at me, holding tightly to her prize. "Give," I say again, yanking it gently because I do not want to tear the frisbee by trying to take it forcibly from her teeth. I get down, squatting in front of her, face to face, nose to nose. "Time to go," I say. "No," she responds. "A while longer." "No," I say. "Give now." I then pry open her mouth carefully, but prying nonetheless. She gradually releases the bright red disc. I take it and wave it at her, signaling that I will throw it one more time. I want to reward her for giving it to me and to indicate to her that every time she thinks I'm going to take it does not mean I will. We enjoy a few more throws, and finally I take the frisbee, hiding my intent, and put it in my bag. Tila then goes off a few paces from me and squats and pees, as I have taught her to do after playing, because the activity stimulates her system. And we are off. As we go, I think about how much her liveliness is a source of pleasure for me. When she plays, I play. When she works, so do I. Once, after we had played in a public park and had our discussion about the frisbee at the end, a woman came over. "I was watching you," she said, "the way you talked with your dog." I was surprised and flattered, not used to being watched this closely, but glad that someone had noticed. Often on our way home from doing our errands, my fun-loving dog has stopped at the entrance to a playground 2 blocks from our house. There is a tennis court within it from which balls may stray, and a grassy field and side areas where she and I have played over the years. She halts at the entrance to this interesting place in the midst of guiding me, looks in longingly, and refuses to go on. I cannot tug her forward, cannot command her. I cannot physically make her go. I must instead have a conversation with her. I reach down and pat the top of her head and say to her, "Yes, I understand. You want to go in, but we have to go home now. We'll play another time." I say this thoughtfully as I touch the furrow of her brow, and I must take my time so that she will feel listened to, heard, and understood, her wishes registered. We then proceed up the hill. My dog and I, we talk. We have developed our ways. We have been safe over all these years. Before I got Tila, I was hit by a car I did not see coming while crossing a street. I was tossed up on the hood of the car, spun around, and thrown onto a sidewalk. Fortunately, I was not badly hurt, but it was a warning. You are not traveling safely. After that, I started using a white cane. And soon I wanted to get a dog. It was an extended process of applying to guide dog school, passing an interview and repeated tests, proving I was capable. And then I was given Tila, my golden girl, and I started having adventures with her. Often, especially in the early years, I took her for granted even as she changed my life. I had to get used to being led along sidewalks and to what people would say. Are you training that dog? What a beautiful dog. What's wrong with your eyes? How long have you had her? What's her name? Why can't you tell me? Oh, how nice for you, dear, they would say. I had to get used to getting the dog food and having fur all over the house. Fur I could not see, but I feared others would see it and think that I kept a dirty house. I had to get used to my black dress pants being covered with golden hair. Guide dog Heather, they called it in the school. I had to get used to how to maneuver Tila when Hannah and I were walking together. So many things have happened to Tila and me over the years, so many significant moments. The world has opened up for me and become a more alive place. My blindness recedes as a handicap and becomes a license to travel aided. Walking with Tila, I think about her needs often more than my own. And I think about how to make my experiences into joys, small joys, because I am with her, because that is what she likes to do. It's been a long time that Tila and I have been sharing this road, the sidewalks, the country paths, the city and the desert, the beaches, the campus, the back seats of cars. It has been a long time, and I never want to forget, not one moment of it, not the specialness of having her, nor the select group to which she and I belong. I have been a person who walks with a guide dog. I have had that privilege. I have been able not to walk alone, to share the adventure, to be led by another life. In this case, that life has been more exuberant than perhaps I am, and more attuned to the smells and excitement of the world, more cautious at times, a guide into my future. A guide away from my past and from the noxious stimulants, the harsh noises, the things I might not like about the city. In our comforting of each other, our watching out for each other's safety, in that I have found respite and a home.